Suicide among young people in the United States and COVID-19. That is our topic, and our guest is Glenn Stanton, who's the Director of Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Glenn, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Sure. So have the numbers of suicide among young people, have those numbers gone up because of the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, that is the big question that we wanted to investigate at Focus on the Family. Actually, Jim Daly asked me that research question a couple of weeks ago, and so I dug into it and dug into the literature, because we're hearing these sort of anecdotal stories of spikes in teen suicide here and there, you know, throughout this COVID year. And the real story is we do not know for certain. I mean, absolute national data has not been published yet by the CDC or Health and Human Services or anybody. So we don't know definitively. But here's what we do know. We have some secondary indications that are showing us that maybe youth suicide has not actually spiked over, you know, 2020, you know, the early months of 2021 because of COVID. And in fact, some of the research indicates that rather than it being a negative thing that kids have been, you know, cooped up at home with their parents and their siblings, that maybe that's been a positive thing psychologically for them.
That's interesting. Now, let me ask you this. Obviously, Focus on the Family is very invested in restoring God's plan and design for the family, which is so sorely needed in our days. Is there a difference between intact families and broken families when it comes to youth suicide?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's interesting that I like to go and look at the research, not just at conservative research, but the leading academic research. Who are the scholars that are really studying?
You know, Glenn, you seem to be in a bad cell at the moment. Earlier it was good. If you can get back to that earlier cell. But, yeah, go ahead. You like to study secular studies of these things. Go on.
Yeah, no, it was echoing a little bit, but it was echoing super bad right then. I mean, I'm not moving around. I'm sitting right here.
Oh, okay.
Let me take a shot at that again.
All right, and let me give this for the editor. 3, 2, 1. What does the research show, Glenn?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things that I like to do when I'm doing research, it's echoing again there.
Is there a different phone for me to call?
No, unfortunately, I'm not in the office and at home and don't have a landline.
Oh, okay.
We'll just give it another shot.
Yeah, all right. And let me recount again. What does the research show, Glenn?
Well, it's interesting. When I do this research, what I like to do is don't go to the conservative research or go to the Christian research necessarily, but go find the leading scholars that are doing the most serious, significant work. And one of these is Dr. Jean Twenge. She is a research professor of psychology at San Diego State University. And she did an analysis of what is happening with suicide and mental health with young people. She's one of the leading scholars on what's happening with young people in the world today. And she conducted this over this past year. And it's interesting that she did this with the Institute for Family Studies, which is a great group of scholars working out of the University of Virginia. She says this: to our surprise, we found that teens fared relatively well during quarantine. Depression and loneliness were actually lower among teens in 2020 than it was in 2018. So they're finding that, this year has been tough on kids, but for some reason, their loneliness, feelings of loneliness and depression have not been as high as we would have assumed that they would be. And she assumes, she wonders, could it be, and she thinks that it's very likely that it could be, that it is increased time with families and siblings and, you know, spending time together, talking and eating meals together, that it's actually time with family that has had a positive impact and mitigated against greater feelings of loneliness and depression.
That makes sense. What is the last name of Jean? How would you spell that, just for anybody who wants to follow up on that? Jean Twenge?
Yeah, Jean Twenge, T-W-E-N-G-E, and she did this research with the Institute for Family Studies.
Okay, so what else did you learn in the research related to the coronavirus and youth suicide?
Well, it's interesting that Dr. Twenge and her research team, they highlighted some additional research that was done at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. This was published in 2019 in the Journal of the American Medical Association, their pediatrics journal. And they found that cohesion, family cohesion, and, you know, the intact family were associated with lower risks of depression, not only just in short term during adolescence and things like this, but moving into adulthood and into midlife. So there is very strong research that's coming out in the last 2 years in some of the leading university-based research that shows us that rather than family being a negative thing, family cohesion and close family relationships can be very, very positive and having very long-term positive impacts on youth well-being. And so we need to know, as advocates for the family, and you guys are there and we are at Focus on the Family, that research is backing us up in making the case that, yes, family does matter. And it's not just, well, love makes a family and any kind of family form is as good as another. No, it's the intact mother and father family that is more solid, more long-term, more cohesive, and is providing these sorts of positive benefits that children need. So, yes, I mean, let's celebrate the family and recognize that the family has been a positive, good, ameliorative resource, if you will, in this very troubling COVID year rather than not.
Yeah, it's so interesting, though, Glenn, because so many forces, cultural forces, seem to mitigate or work against the traditional nuclear family. One of the things that comes to mind, I know Black Lives Matter is apparently one of the first things, you know, people saw on their website is, you know, they view the nuclear family, that is father, mother, and then children or a child, that somehow is racist, inherently racist. And they scrubbed that from their website or whatever. But it's like, what? How does that work? That's not true. Even just sociologically, that's not true. So how would anybody come up with that conclusion other than maybe they feel so bad because of their own personal bad experiences, they're trying to justify their misery or something. I can't figure that out.
Well, Jerry, I mean, that's exactly right point. And it's good to highlight that from Black Lives Matter, because you're right. I mean, you know, this year they had announced that they wanted to do away with the nuclear family. And you know what? If you want to do that, that's fine. But they need to know that that is absolutely contrary to what the best scientific research says about what is most beneficial to the Black community itself, that, you know, more intact families are exactly what the Black community needs, Hispanic community, the white community, the Asian community. And so for them and other liberal groups to say, well, we need to get away from the family, basically what they're saying is we need to get away from this thing that research is telling us is the very mechanism that will improve the lives of children, white, Black, brown, you know, yellow, whatever the case may be. And so we need to know, and you guys are so good about letting your listeners and viewers know that, yes, the research is very clear that it does back up God's design of family, that mothers and fathers matter, that marriage matters, that cohabitation is not a good idea, that having children out of wedlock is not a good idea. It's the intact family that really provides the good things that every community and every child need.
All right. What about same-sex couples?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, we talk about all the research out there that supposedly tells us that same-sex families are just fine. The research on that question is just absolutely miserable. I mean, it's so poor that we really cannot draw any kind of definitive conclusion about how kids do in same-sex homes. I mean, we're in the midst of the experiment. It's an experiment. The experiment is ongoing, and we haven't had enough time with the experiment to be able to conclude, you know, whether these families are good or bad. But we know the larger body of data over 50 years tells us that mothers and fathers, not just any two generic parents, but mothers and fathers married for life provide the kinds of things that kids need to help them do well in school, to help them do well in their pediatrician reports, to help them, you know, stay out of trouble with the police. I call it the four P's. It helps kids do well with their principals, with the police, and their pediatricians. I mean, mother and father families really do matter. And the research on this is just evidently clear, and it continues to come forth in the published literature. And that's what this article that I wrote in the Federalist last week mm-hmm. talks about, is that, yes, even the intact family is impacting in a positive way the difficulties that all of us are facing in this year of COVID.
Social media, how does that impact young people? I mean, I've even heard about some suicide sometimes sparked by, you know, the kid didn't get enough likes on Facebook and so forth. I would think in a context like that, maybe that person's not coming from an intact family. But I don't know. Why don't you comment?
Well, it's interesting because and Jean Twenge, who we referred to earlier, I mean, she has done just some of the greatest study on social media and the way that social media is impacting. But she found that kids, that yes, social media is influential, but she said like 50% of youth say that they're during the COVID months have been spending more time talking with their parents than they did pre-pandemic, and 54% are more likely to say we're eating dinner together. So yes, social media is being very influential in kids' lives, but the family being locked down together is actually having a stronger positive impact than the negative impact of social media. And that's very, very good. And all parents need to know that. I mean, we all face this as parents, like, oh, our kids don't want to hear from us. Our kids don't want to spend more time with us. We're finding out in this year of COVID that actually they are wanting to spend more time with us. And they may not like be super excited, like, oh my goodness, I'm locked up with my parents. But when psychologists like Dr. Twenge and others are asking kids, they're saying, yeah, we've enjoyed spending more time with our family, having more meals with our families, having more conversations with our families, spending more time with our, you know, siblings, brothers and sisters, that has been a good thing for kids and that they have appreciated that.
All right, we have about 30 seconds left in this conversation with Glenn Stanton. How about church and prayer? How does that fit in terms of teenage suicide?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's the other thing that we need to understand, that the place of faith and the narrative of faith and, you know, the fact that we are loved by God and that we have the community of church and believers around us. I mean, the data is very clear that kids who grow up and live in a home with a vibrant faith are significantly less likely to be troubled by feelings of suicide and attempts of suicide because they are more likely to have a meaningful connection and community of people around them and understand who they are in the love of God and that God loves them and has a plan for them.
All right, Glenn Stanton, thanks so much for being with us. FOTF, as in Focus on the Family, FOTF.org. Thank you, Glenn. All the best.
Hey, thank you, Jerry.